AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you today. Not as happy. I got a friend that actually went down to go catch these games, these Twins games that they got with Cleveland and Puerto Rico. Oh. And so glad to get out of the snow, the tremendous amount of snow that we have here. Hunter is joining us right now. Have you dug out your little burrow there?
My burrow?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you are. Okay. It's amazing how much has melted already, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to say at least five inches is gone on some of the piles that were on my house. Although I will say this, the idea of going down to Puerto Rico and being down there, which I think is a good thing. If you're thinking of vacation this year, go to Puerto Rico. It's they need the money. It is a gorgeous place. My sister-in-law's family is from down there. Wonderful. We've had Melissa Franson, the senator from Edina. She's her family, her from down there. We've heard a lot of great things about it from there. They need your help. They still, the second longest blackout in American history is in Puerto Rico right now. So if you can go down there, help out, by all means, commend the Twins and the Cleveland Indians who are both out there. They're playing two games down there and bringing some awareness, I imagine, hopefully, to the island that is still suffering from the hurricane from last year. I would go down there just to get the heck away from this.
Yeah, it's in San Juan, too. San Juan's beautiful.
That old historic baseball field they got down there, which has got a lot of history with that. So Cliff Schechter is joining us right now. Cliff is the founder and president of the PR firm Libertas LLC, advised campaigns, political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton, Vice President Al Gore, the author of the 2008 bestseller The Real McCain, columnist for The Daily Beast. Unprecedented is the exceptional podcast that is, you can find that on Patreon, and he's kind enough to join us today. Cliff, I imagine, you know, well, you're a Cincinnati fan, but, you know, going down to Puerto Rico, maybe catching your cross-strait team, the Indians, as they play the Twins, that wouldn't be the worst idea ever.
That certainly wouldn't. No, can't speak. Thanks for having me on, first of all. But yeah, that would be a great idea. I was just listening to you talk about it in general and thinking, I'd love to maybe organize a big group of people to go on vacation down there. I feel like, my God, we should do everything we can. We're guilty. Even though we didn't vote for the moron running things, you know, somehow the taint of it is still all over us.
As you sort of said it there, it's like, he's not our guy, but this is the actions of America, and unfortunately we're part of it, and this is part of why we were screaming at the top of our lungs, do not vote for this guy, is because we could already see this coming. Puerto Rico, it is the forgotten tragedy in this country. And I mean, we thought W's response to Katrina was atrocious, especially in Louisiana and New Orleans. But this is, the Trump spending an entire week golfing. He could care less. He doesn't even know. He's forgotten where Puerto Rico is. It's the second longest blackout in American history right now. Still large swaths of the island without power. And
I mean, that's insane.
It is. And so, yeah,
it's sickening, really. And if it's not criminal, it should be. Quite frankly, this guy should keep his butt off the damn golf course and go do whatever is necessary. See, I had to change my word there. That's the problem with doing a podcast like I do, Matt. I get used to using a certain kind of language. I don't want to get you kicked off the air.
Well, don't worry. Hunter, stand by the dump button. We might need that.
This is sort of one of those things up there with, when I talk with you about gun violence and other things that are completely preventable and get me so angry because it's just evil people doing evil things. And that's in Puerto Rico completely, obviously we couldn't stop what happened there, but the response to it, something that completely is manageable by competent, compassionate people. You know, we can put money into these ridiculous tax cuts, which, by the way, nobody actually likes, according to a Wall Street Journal poll. I think you can guess that the Wall Street Journal isn't chilling for us on that one. But only 39% of people think that they're getting something positive out of this tax cut, and 50-something% are negative. Can you imagine if we had that money? Maybe we could have jobs programs in Puerto Rico, and help rebuild. It's just, it makes me mad.
You know, well, since you brought that up, I will make this point, too. The Congressional Budget Office just released a report. Their analysis of the Trump's tax bill now says, no, this is not going to repatriate all these dollars that's been shipped overseas, that that money is still going to stay overseas because of the way that the corporate businesses on the surveys they've done have responded. And then as well, this report came on out was that $3 of every $1 is going to someone who's either a senior executive at a corporation or a wealthy multi-millionaire. The vast majority of this money, three quarters of it, is going to a small percentage of Americans who are already some of the wealthiest people on the planet.
Right, which is exactly what we all said. Because
yep.
Again, you know, we don't fall for their garbage anymore. I don't believe that anything, I haven't believed for a whole number of years now, that anything the Republican Party comes into is in good faith. So even if they, if there are people there who really believe that something is going to be helpful, I still don't believe it until I see it. You know, and here I had a hard time finding anybody who really actually believed it. It was all a political stunt and all a way to put more money in their friends' pockets and their donors' pockets. And in the end, the political part of it seems to have backfired, which, God, I mean, I hope if that could be one of the reasons to take down these guys, that would be phenomenal. And I mean, I know that we have two open House seats that are considered the only two, I think, in the country, Democratic ones that are considered vulnerable that are in Minnesota, right? Because they're both open seats. So, I would tell whoever it is who's running there, which I should know, but I don't. I bet you do. Run on the tax plan. Run against it. I guess it'll work.
Well, and you know, and you talk about Minnesota. Here's the bigger problem for the Republicans in the state is that Amy Klobuchar is on the ticket this year. They're not even running anyone against her. She's so popular. Tina Smith is running to finish out Franken's term. So that's a 2-year run. She's already got a massive money advantage over her competitor. We got a governor's race in the state. Tim Pawlenty,
an old friend, is back in it. How's he doing?
Oh, well, he's apparently thinking we've all fallen, hit our head, and have amnesia because we wouldn't remember he left the state in $6 trillion in debt, and that didn't even include the education budget, which he shifted into a different fiscal cycle. And of course,
don't all the Tea Party lunatics? I mean, he's not conservative enough for them anymore. Every 4 years, the ground shifts under them, right? I mean, George W. Bush is a liberal to them now. So how is Pawlenty going to keep? I mean, he's terrible in general. His policies stink, but at the same time, like, how is he going to keep the Tea Party in line?
Well, he's
probably
got,
want some.
He's got he's got the money. They just released this statistic today. He has got an insane amount of cash. It's like $1 million already that he raised in a very short period of time. And my guess is, considering that he's spent the last, you know, 8 years as a Wall Street lobbyist, that he, you know, that's the case, but he has over $1 million he's picked up in a very short period of time. My guess, most of it with a New York City address, and you know, so he's he's currently in second behind for the governor's race, behind the Democrat Tim Walz, who's the reason why Minnesota won's an open seat is because Tim Walz decided
right,
he was going to run.
Walz is running for that
for governor, amongst other with Rebecca Otto and Aaron Murphy. But I think when you look at it, he's got the money advantage. As a matter of fact, I mean, I would love your analysis of this. Let me explain one thing. In Congressional District 3, where Eric Paulson, the albino leech, is residing. This last weekend,
what did you call him?
The albino leech.
Well played. I like that.
He is the albino leech. Paulson, CD3 had their convention. They had, now, once again, they had all the fanfare and all this stuff with Pawlenty getting announced as, oh, he's back, he's going to run. They did a straw poll, and you and I both know they're cosmetic. They're really popularity contests, but still, Jeff Johnson, who is the guy that's been running, I think he's a Hennepin County commissioner, if I'm not mistaken. He's been running for governor for a while. He trounced Pawlenty in the straw poll in a suburban Twin Cities West Metro district, which is generally where the bread and butter has been for the Republicans. That, you know, that's where the money is. That's where they get their donations from. That's where they get the swing voters generally. And the fact that Johnson trounced him by 30 points in the straw poll, it wasn't even close. I don't quite know what to think about it. I mean, you've got a big money advantage, but what's your when you hear that sort of thing, that a straw poll that just happened, like, again, I said on Saturday, straw poll happens, he's still 30 points behind Jeff Johnson in that district, at least. Is that something that, you know, should you know, Pawlenty maybe think about saving his buddies, Wall Street buddies, money before he does this? Or do you think that that's just an anomaly?
I mean, that's a good question. I think Pawlenty should probably think about but saving his Wall Street buddies money, to be quite honest with you. I mean, what are your thoughts?
I think that he can nuke the Republican Party of Minnesota. And, you know, clearly if there's already a candidate that's more popular than him in the race, because I think a lot of people, even on the Republican side, remember how bad he left this state. I think he can nuke it.
So not ideologically, but just more like just the fact that he's just was a terrible governor in general.
Yes, general. The fact that the Republicans had to agree to raise, even they agreed to raise taxes because things were so bad after his last term.
It was like a Kansas, Louisiana kind of thing. Yeah.
Exactly. So right. I think that at the end of the day, when you look at something like that, I mean, there are enough signs on the wall that Pawlenty, I understand that there is enough people here that say, get us a name, get us a Norm Coleman, get us a Tim Pawlenty, give us maybe even a Michelle Bachmann, get us someone who resonates within the Republican Party. But the reality is,
it was God who wanted Michelle Bachmann for a while, right? But then God changed his or her mind.
Yes. God said, oh, no, whoa, I was just trying to
God
order.
God clearly just ate a bad cheeseburger, was having some delusions for an hour or two, and then After the sickness wore off, God realized, wait a minute, this is Michelle Bachmann. That kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, and it is this taking this away from just Minnesota here and taking this on a national thing, this is not the year to try to be that plucky Republican upstart because this is going to be a bloodbath, I think, nationwide.
Yeah, I think someone like Pawlenty is not necessarily the right call for this year. But, you know, I mean, we'll have to see. I guess we'll have to see what happens. I see they want name recognition and all that. But, again, there's so much disenchantment right now with government, and for good reason. Look who's running it in so many places. And when you have somebody who has a record you can point to that's disastrous from the past, and you can tie them to all sorts of unpopular Republicans, I mean, I don't know what he ended up doing, if he endorsed Trump or didn't or whatever, but my guess is he certainly hasn't spoken out against Trump. He probably ties economic policies to Trump's. You know, I don't know. I don't think it's. I don't think right now is a good time for somebody like him. But I don't know.
Let's get into some more. I know something that you're chomping at the bit to talk about.
Shawnee.
Oh, the shocker from yesterday. That you know, you have Michael Cohen in court being told you have to name your clients, and the third name outside of this Broidy and Trump was indeed Sean Hannity. A guy who has been, you know, the fact that I understand he's a pundit and he's not a journalist, but still, I've got to imagine that his bosses at Fox News, they probably didn't know about this, but at the same time, they're not going to publicly condemn him. But this has got to be, I mean, any credibility that organization had is now gone.
Right. Which it didn't anyhow have any credibility, but yet at the same time, this is so ridiculous. I mean, yes, he's a pundit, although he called himself a journalist, and even when within his own house, there's Shep Smith talked about how they do something different. They don't break news. They're not really journalists. He got all very offended at that and made sure to say, Shep, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, he's a journalist. Well, I mean, he's been doing these kinds of things for a long time, right? He goes to fundraisers and hosts them. You know, he does this stuff. Now, I mean, they've got a broadcast license. Theoretically, there's ethical issues here. You know, you're supposed to disclose this kind of thing. You know, and I mean, I've got a podcast. I go out of my way all the time to try to say when I've got connections to people who I'm promoting, just because I try to do it. You know what I mean? And not because I could do whatever I wanted to do, really. But I mean, this guy, like he's always been. The way he's come out so forthright in favor of protecting everything about Trump as such a propagandist as he's always been. I mean, with a lot of these guys, I've gotten even more suspicious, to be honest with you, as time's gone on. I'm like, maybe they're not just doing it because they love Trump so much or even for financial reasons. Maybe they're implicated in this stuff, too. Mm-hmm. And this is a reminder. Now, I'm not saying there's any proof of anything right now, but, I mean, you know, would it be a surprise? I mean, we know from the fact that Hannity got kicked off Twitter for a little bit. Somebody set up a fake Sean Hannity account. You may remember this whole thing. And Julian Assange started sending, like, DMs. And because he thought it was really Sean Hannity, about how he should contact him through other channels and things like that. So they clearly were very chummy and had talked many times in the past because it was a very conversational thing. So, you know, Assange, who's talking to Putin's people, and then there's a direct connection to Hannity, and Hannity has Michael Cohen as his lawyer, who theoretically, you know, he's trying to claim there's privileged information. What's he telling Cohen that Cohen's sharing with Trump? I mean, maybe we all overthought the collusion thing, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just that simple. I'm just saying there's no reason why that's a conspiratorial thing. These connections, they're all right there in front of you. All it would take is one person having a conversation with somebody else who had a conversation with somebody else. Done. You know, I mean, yeah. It doesn't take that long. So, I mean, but I mean, to me, if besides Trump, I mean, it's what I said about McConnell and Paul Ryan, and now Paul Ryan's not even running, but it's what I said about McConnell before, whatever. Like, the only gift that could come out of this beyond Trump is if it pulled down, it took down, you know, Pence, it took down McConnell, it took down others. Well, God, it would take down Sean Hannity and Fox News. I mean, that would be incredible. I mean, there's no reason to think that Sean Hannity isn't knee-deep in whatever it is that's going on here. And, I mean, it's, you know, again, it's such a joke, ethically, on any level, that this guy's going on TV 3 nights a week, you know, of the 5 nights, maybe more than that. I don't know. I don't watch him. However many nights of his 5 nights of the week, vociferously defending Michael Cohen, attacking anybody who attacks him, defending Trump, you know, and all that, and not disclosing that this guy's his lawyer. Mm-hmm. And what's the relationship there? Is that payback? Is his defending Trump payback for Michael Cohen's legal services, which he didn't have to pay for? I mean, you know, what kind of a corrupt deal do they have going on? Inquiring minds want to know.
Rachel Maddow asked if they were billing that hour when he was on the air. The stepping away from this, because you're right, there is a little bit, in the last week, a lot of pieces have started falling much more into place. Michael Cohen, who in the Steele dossier was referred to as going to Prague to meet with Russian officials, his entire argument, as a matter of fact, ironically, he did this on Hannity's show, said, oh, look, I've never been there. But now it's determined that he actually probably did. It's known he crossed the border from Germany into the Czech, into the nation of Czech Republic.
Czechia? I don't know. They changed the name. They're screwing me up, man.
The Czech Republic. He did cross the border there. Then now you have this thing, as you brought up, the whole thing with the Twitter where Julian Assange was trying to talk to him. I'm starting to really, you know, I think Sean Hannity really is in this thing a lot deeper than a lot of people want to acknowledge. And that he, you know, at the very least, looks like he is the point person for the dissemination of this information from Russia to the masses. And he does have the connections in the media side to be able to do that. And if, you know, I mean, you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, as much as a joke this is, when he was sputtering, trying to explain what exactly, I have attorney-client privilege, but he wasn't my attorney. Well, it's one or the other. He either is your attorney and you have attorney-client privilege, or he's not your attorney and there is no privilege. And so the fact that he was sputtering so badly, I'm starting to really wonder, you know, is it that simple? Is that this, you're right. Could this end up taking him and Fox News down?
Well, I mean, you do have to. I mean, seriously, like, it's not tin hat, you know, it's not tinfoil hat territory anymore when you know that all these guys have been talking to each other, right? I mean, when it's sort of settled fact, when Julian Assange is dumb enough to go on Twitter and think that somebody who's pretending to be Sean Hannity, and starts talking to him about, you know, and making it very clear they've talked many times before and that he should, quote unquote, go through other channels and could call him that night. I mean, it wasn't like when the guy said, can I call you tonight? And he was like, why would you do that? We've never talked before. It's like, yeah, sure, call me at 9 o'clock. I mean, you know, I mean, this stuff is obvious. And, you know, look, Trump's dining with these guys. He talks on the phone and dines with Lou Dobbs and with Tucker Carlson and with Sean Hannity. We know the right wing has been a corrupt, insulated group of people that sort of just go around sort of playing musical chairs with what roles they're in for a long time now. One day you're writing for the Washington Times, the next day you're at Fox, the next day you work for the White House as a spokesperson, at think tanks. I mean, this is the way it's been for a while there. It doesn't much matter. The same people are probably paying your paycheck no matter where you are. I mean, you know, it's become a corrupt cult. It's no longer there's no independent thinking going on there. There's no who's right and who's wrong, because if there were, you wouldn't be picking, you know, instead of America first, you wouldn't be picking Russia first. Mm. You'd actually care about your country. And I asked that question many times, like how deep this goes. I mean, we know about Rohrabacher, right? But other members of Congress, I mean, certainly the PACs that supported them could have had Russian money in them, and it's quite suspicious, a lot of people are, that they did from you know, the NRA having Russian money floating through. I mean, you know, who isn't tainted on the right at this point? We know they did the same kinds of things with Marine Le Pen and others in France, and these were far right-wing groups in Europe. Money's floating around, Russian oligarch money on Fleet Street in London. I mean, and has corrupted the conservative party there. So what, I mean, our campaign finance laws are a lot easier to dodge than theirs. We don't have nearly as much regulation as they do. Mm-hmm. I don't see why, it's conspiratorial to think that Hannity, who has made himself a political player before, has hosted fundraisers even while he's calling himself a journalist and appeared at them and done these kinds of political activities. You know, why it would be another step further to believe a guy that clearly needs is as much of an evil authoritarian as anybody tied to Trump. Why somebody like that wouldn't have gotten more involved in this kind of stuff just because he gets off on it? You know what I mean?
No,
same with Dobbs and the same with all these characters.
No, you're exactly
right. And members of Congress, for that matter. You know?
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. And that leads to this question: do you think Mueller? I mean, clearly there's a path here to Mueller will pull Hannity on in. I'm sure Hannity's going to try the, I'm a member of the press crap. Then he's not. His whole argument on why he's not disclosed this information is because he says I'm not a journalist. But you know as well as I do, if Mueller pulls him in and start asking, explain to us your connection to WikiLeaks, he's going to immediately slap down. It's like I'm going to plead the fifth because I'm a journalist and I don't share my information on my contacts. And so, I mean, how do you think that that's going to go? I mean, do you feel, first of all, that Mueller will pull him in to investigate him? And do you think that he'd be able to pull that off and say that I don't have a legal right to have to say what, who I'm talking to?
Well, I mean, I think legitimately with his connections to Michael Cohen now, and the fact that he's treated him like a lawyer, I think I would hope Mueller would pull him in. I think he's legitimate to this story. He can try to claim he's media all that he wants, but and he will, because you're right. You know, he's going to hide behind that. But I mean, at some point, if he's aiding and abetting a criminal conspiracy, I don't know if it matters anymore, does it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can be a member of the media, but if you're helping, mobsters share illegal information, you're not allowed to be sharing with people. You're helping bribery and money laundering and all these other things. I would have to think at some point that the First Amendment protection runs out. So I'm not a lawyer, but Mueller seems to be pretty damn good at what he does, and so I would expect that with this disclosure now, that Hannity would be pulled. I mean, the first place everybody runs when it comes out they have ties to Russia is to Hannity's show.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? I don't know. Maybe just because he has high ratings, or maybe there's something deeper going on there. I mean, the first show Don Jr. went on after it was exposed that he had that meeting in Trump Tower, went running right to Hannity. Why? I think these. I would have to think that if you're Mueller, these are the kinds. If you really want to get the full scope of what went on here, and you want to see how deep it goes, and sadly, I think it permeated much of the right-wing infrastructure, and frankly, sadly, a little bit of that on the left too.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to get to the bottom of it.
Unprecedented is the podcast. You can find it on Patreon. You got a show that was up on was it the Friday? The Friday the 13th. You put the latest show up, right?
That's right. Well, yeah, we did one today. We taped one, so there'll be one coming up just like the last one. The boring, just me and John. Mm-hmm. We try to be exciting. We get up, we dance for you. We sing a little bit. No, I mean, we're talking about the topics going on, but we've got a great interview coming up on Wednesday for subscribers. We're talking to Mira Tandon, who is the head of the Center for American Progress. And so that should be fun. We talked to Rick Wilson, the Republican consultant, who's a never-Trumper last week. And we've got some other things coming up. Fred Gutenberg, who I've gotten to know, who lost his daughter, sadly, at Stoneman Douglas High School, the high school we've all been talking about now for 2 months, and some others coming up soon too. I haven't settled on figured out the date yet, but there's a certain guy, it rhymes with the Barmores, a set of movies. I think that I met him once or twice, and hopefully he'll be on our podcast soon too.
Beautiful. Go to Patreon. I've subscribed. It's Cliff like you hear him here, only with more colorful language and actually and without the crap host. That's me. So you go listen to Unprecedented. It is brilliant.
Oh, stop it with the crap host, man.
Yeah.
You should be national and everywhere.
I couldn't remember the name Czech Republic.
Dude, I lose my train of thought all the time. Don't worry about it. We're getting older, Matt. I don't know how old you
are. I'm 49. I'm getting there. All right. So go. I will link to the Patreon page as well. Cliff, I appreciate it as always. Top notch. Thanks for the time. And we'll talk with you before too long because let's face it, the way things are breaking in this frickin' administration, I have to have you on speed dial, man.
I would love to come on because this is part of my therapy. I enjoy talking to you. It must be done. So thank you for having me on, buddy.
My pleasure.
Good work.
Cliff Schechter joining us. We'll take a break. Come back with a quick segment after this. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Yes, international movement superstar. Original old boy man's of sound. Big up, put them aside.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
This is Bill McLeslie, owner of IP House in Minneapolis. Many businesses don't know their cloud server is unsupported until they actually need support. It takes only one bad experience in dealing with the big name providers to see why I started IP House. We provide support no matter which cloud you're on, theirs or ours. Our staff is located right here in the Twin Cities and is on call 24 hours a day. And if you don't want the cloud, we can help you there too. Call us, 612-337-6337.
The Spring St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, will be running April 27th, 28th, and 29th. This is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you'll have the chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artist studios, lofts, and galleries. Hosting over 350 artists, up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 34 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for you to own. When you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community with free transit passes. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at the stpaulartcrawl.org. That's the stpaulartcrawl.org.
Anytime is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse their massive selection. You'll find everything from rock and pop to international and roots, and so much more, on CD and vinyl. Not only is Electric Fetus the best stop for music, but they also carry a wide and unique range of gifts. Bath products, clothing, books, stationery, candles, incense, you name it. That's the Electric Fetus at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Thanks to Cliff for joining us. I did not get to one thing, which is this is going to be the shocker of the week already here just on Tuesday. Hunter, I don't know if you saw this. There was a Supreme Court ruling today, and it involved the it basically had to do with the fact that the Trump campaign wants to basically, if you've committed a crime of any kind in the United States and you're an immigrant, they want to be able to deport you. The rules basically say it's a violent crime, that if it's determined to be a violent crime, then you can deport them immediately. But other crimes, you have to give them some leeway. And what the Trump administration has been trying to do is basically make the argument that if you're caught jaywalking, that's a violent crime and that henceforth you're going to get deported. So this case, it was a case of an individual who's from the Philippines who they wanted to deport. And it doesn't necessarily sound like it was going to – it was basically about whether or not they could label certain crimes as violent crimes to deport them. Okay, did I explain that clear enough to you?
Yeah,
there? Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
5-4 ruling against the Trump administration. 5-4 ruling against the Trump administration that basically says, no, you can't just willy-nilly label any crime a violent crime just under the guise of deporting an immigrant. Here's where it gets interesting. 4 liberal judges voted in favor of against Trump, okay? The 4 liberals did. Neil Gorsuch, Trump's own appointee, voted against Trump.
That is interesting.
That's incredibly interesting. That's like, what? Gorsuch basically on his first, I believe this would be his first ruling, really, wanted. Is this his first major ruling, or did he do a few rulings beforehand?
I'm not sure. As far as I know.
Yeah. This is his first ruling goes against Trump directly and says, because Trump is the guy that wants to basically say any crime, jaywalking, you know, you shoplift a piece of 2-cent candy, that you need to be deported. And Gorsuch teams up with the four liberal judges to upend that policy. It's going to be interesting. I'll just take it as a one-time deal, because I got to believe, considering as well that Gorsuch seems to run with certain crowds in D.C., I'm not going to necessarily take this as, a major sign. I mean, we still have a lot of big rulings, those gerrymander rulings that we got coming up here. Those are going to be a big deal. I'll wait to hold my judgment here, but maybe, just maybe, there's another one of those things that Jeff Stein sort of said about Trump, is that Trump's not going to appoint Republican loyalists, that he's going to appoint people that, you know, that he likes and just kind of let them do what they want to do. I mean, it's clearly his philosophy with like Zinke in the Interior Department and Pruitt at the EPA. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Get caught back up on time. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tom Hartman here for All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that you save more if you wait, but waiting to switch can actually cost you more. While tax rebates make solar affordable, those rebates are often limited and decrease over time. So when you wait, you risk losing some of the incentives that make solar so easy to afford today. And besides, the sooner you get your All Energy Solar system, the sooner you reduce or even eliminate that high electricity bill. Make the switch today at allenergysolar.com.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive in New Brighton. I've been in business long enough to know that if you want to stand out, you better be the best. That's why I've assembled a top-notch team of automotive specialists who do the job right the first time. Bringing your car or truck to PJW Automotive is an investment in the future of your vehicle. Try us once and you'll see it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
It's time for spring cleaning. Wait, you weren't planning on getting your carpets cleaned this spring? Getting your carpets cleaned is not just about how your home looks. It's about your family's health with all the bacteria and allergens building up. That's why Zero Res uses their patented empowered water so you get a healthy and clean home without soapy, crunchy, dirt-attracting residue. This month, get 3 rooms Zero Resified starting at $139. Plus, this month, save $50 when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
When you think of a Russian souvenir, I bet that Matryoshka, the nesting doll, is the first thing that comes to mind. I'm happy to say that our exhibition of these Matryoshka dolls, which delighted thousands of families over the holidays, has been extended through August 11th. Whether you're from Moscow or Mankato, you'll be stunned by the variety, shapes, and intricate details of this massive collection. Deals on Groupon. Visit us today or online at tmora.org.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 38. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 27. Wednesday, about 1 to 3 inches of snow with a high near 36. And Thursday, sunny with a high around 45.
Lowry Hill Meats is your neighborhood full-service butcher shop. They work directly with family farmers and offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, poultry, and much more. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis. Find more at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Indeed, Lowry Hill Meats, fantastic place. You like me? You know what gets you through some of these days? Not only dreaming of going to Puerto Rico, but also enjoying some delicious grilling, that's for sure. And Lowry Hill Meats is just a fantastic place to go. And just once again, you're getting that that connection that you have out there that is, you know, from the farmer right to you. And get you right to your table, and that's just a great way to go. Lowry Hill Meats, great sausages, great sandwiches as well. Beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry, stop on by. It's 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis. Lowry Hill Meats is the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Let's go to Gare Bear in Minneapolis, who wanted to chime in. Welcome on in, Gary.
Yeah, I got a couple of labels for our president of the 1%, that's a good label for him, or Tyrant in Chief, or Lover Boy, pick whichever you want. You know, they had on, I had on TV this morning, a bunch of his avid supporters, a bunch of comfortable old white people were complaining about Comey, you know. They should be kissing his toenails or have him put him in there, you know, but they don't like him. And, you know, they should be tickled pink just to hear his name. But I was going to say that I just found out something from a friend of mine. You know, I mentioned our sacrifices we're making for the millionaires under these Republicans and Trump. The donut hole goes away completely in 2020, but after the donut hole is gone each year, you pay 25% of each drug. That's something the Republicans and Trump put into the plan to sacrifice for the billionaires.
Oh, I and Gary, I thank you very much for the call. I have zero doubt that the Republicans are expecting the Democrats to get back in charge and fix the mistakes that they made, and then they can go on out there and say, oh, look at you, tax and spend, and all the idiots are like, yeah, the guys that were going to take away my money basically had to be voted out of office, and you put you in there to save it, so it, my health care and all this stuff is saved, but you're evil. Yeah, whatever. 952-946-6205. I do like Loverboy, though, as a nickname for Trump. Although, unlike Loverboy, Trump never works on the weekend. Everybody's working for the week. Never mind. Not Canada's finest. Canada's fourth. No, nah, I can get four Canadian artists real quick. Canadians' 12th best band? Canadians? Yes, it's Canada's 12th best band. Knock yourself out. Right behind Anne Murray. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I want to start off by some of the local conversation here by talking about Paul Thiessen, the representative who we've had on the air many, many, many times. In case you did not hear it today, he has got a brand new honor. He is going to be leaving the House of Representatives. Governor Mark Dayton announced Tuesday that the former Speaker of the House in Minneapolis is going to be the newest member of the Minnesota Supreme Court. DFL governor selected Thiessen, an attorney who has been a state representative since 2003, to fill an open seat on the state's top court. The post became vacant after President Donald Trump appointed Judge David Strauss to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. Thiessen's appointment makes the 7-member state high court will now include 5 Dayton appointees to it. Thiessen is 51, is currently senior counsel for the Health Law Group at the Ballard Spahr Law Firm, and he is, I think, going to be an incredibly wonderful addition to the Minnesota State Supreme Court. He's busy, obviously, as all get-go today. We were trying to get him on the air, both myself and McEntee, to see if he had a few minutes to talk about this, because what a great honor, and it's a great trajectory for him as he heads on off. I'm sure he'll be part of a great body there. And as a matter of fact, one of the things I think is it's going to be a good addition to the Supreme Court. I think it's good to get people that were in the legislative branch. As the judicial branch, part of your job is oversight of the legislative branch. And trust me, some of these things like this line item veto stuff, and they're going to have to weigh in eventually here on the lieutenant governor's race. Some of this stuff is, you know, they might feel it's beneath them, but I think having someone in there with legislative experience and saying, no, this is actually important, this is stuff that we have to deal with. I'm not saying that there isn't already people in there that don't have some legislative experience, but I think Thiessen will bring a ton to it, and just a wonderful addition to the Supreme Court. I'm very happy to see that he is in there and going in there. A good pick by Governor Mark Dayton as well. 952-946-6205. Former Governor Tim Pawlenty, I mentioned this with Schechter a little bit. He can raise funds. Although once again, as they say, that he's got $1 million since he announced he's entering the race. Since he put $1 million since he announced. That's a tremendous amount of fundraising power in a very short period of time. But is anyone really thinking that you think this is Ma and Pa from the farm in Minnesota? And this is, you know, Nigel and Lawrence at the Wall Street Bank that he was you know, lobbying for. I have zero doubt the vast majority of the money that Tim Pawlenty's collected is not from Minnesotans wanting a fresh change, so bringing back Teapaw. My guess is the most of the money is his buddies he's been lobbying for. And that, and but you see, that's part of the value of him. One of the reasons why some Republicans loved Tim Pawlenty was because as they're seeing Republican after Republican get trounced in these financial numbers we just mentioned yesterday, Karen Housley, she's running against Tina Smith. Tina Smith had $1.8 million in the first 3 months. She has $500,000. Karen Housley does $500,000. That's it. Less than a third. Neuberger to my knowledge, hasn't even shown a fiscal report for his campaign against Klobuchar, which would, I'm guessing it would mean he's gotten $0. He's gotten a goose egg. I don't know. I mean, and you're looking at the, if you look at the amount of money that's being raised, I mean, the Democrats have had a pretty shocking standard when it comes to advantage here. I mean, until Tim Pawlenty, the top three fundraisers for the governor's race, Tim Walz, Rebecca Otto, and Aaron Murphy. Johnson comes in, you know, he's behind. I mean, let's see, Aaron Murphy pulled in the first 3 months, $448,000. I mean, and this is not a slight against Aaron in any capacity. Representative Murphy has done a great job there. Of the three Democrats, she's in third. Walz has $1.6 million. Rebecca Otto got $488,000, and Aaron Murphy got $448,000. I mean, those are some impressive numbers. That's some good money right there. Jeff Johnson, he falls behind that, $364,000. So one of the reasons why Republicans wanted Tim Pawlenty to run was because of his ability to raise money. And call it what it is. He's a Wall Street lobbyist. He's got tons of people on speed dial in New York and Washington, D.C. He can make one call and have $100,000 by the end of the day. I mean, that would be my guess of why they wanted him. The problem is what we pointed out yesterday in the straw poll in CD3, Eric Paulson's district, suburban West Metro. This is the bread and butter. This is how Republicans have been able to win in the state, is to take enough people out of the District 3, out of District 2, and they've been able to use that to counterpoint, you know, generally the Iron Range, Duluth, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Rochester. And when you look at this, that CD3 straw poll, Jeff Johnson trounced Pawlenty. Just trounced him. Now, Johnson, if I'm not mistaken, like I said, he's a Hennepin County commissioner. So, I mean, that's understandable to a point he'd be popular within the CD3. But once again, that's where the money's at. You've got to pull money in yards chunks out of the Lake Minnetonka crowd. And if the Lake Minnetonka crowd's rather be with Jeff Johnson, you know, you can have all the money in the world. You're going to have to nuke the Republican Party to win that race, and then just hope and pray that everyone, the reason why you're 30 points behind him in a straw poll, Tim, is because even Republicans remember how crappy you left the state the last time. You left the state in true fiscal jeopardy. And no, people are not welcoming you back because, my God, you are horrific when it comes to balancing a checkbook. I mean, we talked about this when you did it. Has anyone been able to call up your creditors and say, you know what, my car payment, I'm going to just push that into the next year. All right. I'm not going to pay my car payment until the next year. All right. Good. Done. And acted like you did something right. My God. Jim is in St. Paul. Let's bring Jim on in. Welcome on in, Jim.
Thank you, Matt. You know, I couldn't be happier than to find out that Paul Thiessen got that appointment. I tell you, he probably is the smartest and best guy for governor. I know he didn't catch on, but by God, I'll tell you, I am so glad he got the appointment. And it's just another feather in Mark Dayton's cap, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and boy, you sure, Jim, you bring up that point. Thank you very much, Jim. I appreciate the phone call. You bring up the point. Dayton has basically, and to a point, Pawlenty did this for the 8 years he was in office, too. Pawlenty did Dayton has done a pretty good job of shaping the Supreme Court of Minnesota into his image, into his likeness. And that is part of the benefit of being the governor. is that you have the ability to mold the state Supreme Court. Thiessen is, you know, I like the fact that he decided to run for governor. I don't know, considering the field he was up against, I didn't know if that was the right time for him. He has pulled out of that race, and once again, he's, you know, going to the Supreme Court. I think this for him is going to definitely be, they absolutely should be the one of the best positions he could possibly be in. I mean, he's more than qualified. He brings in the knowledge. It is a great choice. Dayton, another exceptional decision to add Thiessen to the Supreme Court. And obviously we're hoping to have Thiessen on either my show or Mike's show over the next few days to talk a little bit about that. Hold on, Jeff. I'll get your call after the break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Damian Strange, Executive Director of Northeast Minneapolis Arts Association, NEMA, and I'm personally inviting you to Arterworld May 18th through the 20th. View artwork of over 650 artists in every medium at more than 50 locations throughout Northeast Minneapolis, including studio buildings, art galleries, homes, storefronts, and local businesses. The Artist Open Studio Tour may include demonstrations, mini workshops, installations, and special exhibitions. Studio tours offer a great opportunity to ask questions, discuss techniques, experience art firsthand, and purchase unique artwork directly from artists. Arterworld gives you a unique opportunity to meet the artists who make our community so vibrant and invest in our art community by purchasing artwork that you connect with. For more information, go to NEMAA.org. That's NEMA.org. Looking forward to seeing you at Arterworld.
Someone asked if I really do love my Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna as much as I say I do. Well, this week I've got groceries, a Target run, 7 sports practices with carpooling for 4 of them, 2 games, 3 music lessons, 4-H, dance, helping a friend move. We'll also probably have 3 play dates. I'll have to drive to work, and I'll have at least 1 weekend family outing. Yes, it's a lot, but I get to do it all in relaxing comfort and style. Yes, I do love my Sienna, and you can fall in love for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
I am fascinated by something that Schechter said. Pawlenty's going to have to embrace Trump to win that primary. He's going to have to. And he's not going to be able to, I'm different from Trump, but then overlook my record. He's not going to be able to do both of them. It's going to be interesting to see how he tries to win that Republican primary. Let's run. We got full phone lines. Let's run them here. Jeff is in Prior Lake. Jeff, thank you very much for holding. Welcome on in.
Hey, Matt. Great show, like every day. We love your show.
Thanks.
And I'd like your opinion on this, and I'll take your opinion off air, is that if you take a look at Reagan and Bush and now Trump, they all blew up the deficit. And then the American people get mad. They put in a Democrat, and then the Democrat raises taxes, and he spends the money to get us out of the hole. During this process, the Republicans are banging us over the head that we're tax and spend. I talked to Angie Craig and I talked to Jeff Ergman, and I told both of them, run on tax and spend. let the American public know that you're going to increase taxes, meaning you're going to take away the corporate giveaway that was just given to the corporations. You're going to take away the tax break that were given to the wealthy, and you're going to spend that money on infrastructure. You're going to spend that money on them, and you're going to spend that money to make the America great again. So, yes, I am going to tax and I am going to spend.
You know, Jeff, I thank you very much for the phone call and thank you for the nice words. I appreciate that. Jeff in Prior Lake. Here's what I will say. I think that the Democrats should run on this. But the question is going to be is simple. It's one that's been set up by the Republicans. If we're going to run a deficit because of spending, who do you want the money to go to? The ultra wealthy who already have more than enough money to last themselves, their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids, their great-great-grandkids, their great-great-great-grandkids for the rest of their life. No one in that family for the next 150 years has to work a damn day in their life. Do you think that family needs more money, or do you think the American people need more money? And what we're trying to do, and you see, this is one of the reasons why the Republican message is finally cavitating, is these guys passed this tax bill, the Trump tax bill, high-fived, had a kegger on the House floor, and kept screaming, everyone's going to be a millionaire. And no one was going to be a millionaire outside of the millionaires. And they knew it. And as a matter of fact, in some states like New York, New Jersey, the taxes went up astounding amounts of money. And so this is really, the Republicans themselves have set this up. I would hammer them on the Trump tax bill, how it did not help the American people and it drove up the deficit. And then I would also remind everyone, hey, who voted to get rid of health care for everyone? Oh, that's right. The Republicans did. Marvin's in Minneapolis wanted to chime in on Paul Thiessen. Welcome on in, Marvin.
Hey, Matt. Right, nice to talk to you again. Remember you made from the Blue State Ball this past March and also previous March. Thank you for being such a great radio host.
Thank you, sir.
Paul Thiessen, in my book, is probably the smartest person I ever met. I mean, this guy has so much class. I was very active in the DFL part. I've been active in the DFL party now for like the last 8 years. And every time Paul Thiessen is room, everyone's great to him to see what his opinion is. And when you can pull that kind of rank and respect and admiration from fellow Democrats, that says a lot.
Well, and Margaret,
I was at a fundraiser at Paul's house, and he got up and talked about his accomplishments. And he said, "You know, if it wasn't for me as a Speaker of the House when they passed when the Vote No campaign came out and about the marriage equality, and he was one of the co-sponsors of the marriage amendment." I thought, you know what, Paul? You are a true class individual.
And Marvin, I got to step in on there because I want to get Randall in here. One thing I will say about this is just look at the guy. 36 years old when he went into the House, was the Speaker of the House. He's run for governor. He is a top-notch guy. I had him on the air with me every week for, a year and a half. I can tell you my experience with Paul Thiessen is he's an exceptional human being. We're going to be very lucky to have that man on the Supreme Court. Absolutely. Randall, you're going to get the final word. Randall is in New Hope. He wanted to chime in on a nickname for Trump. Welcome on in, Randall.
Thanks, Matt. I have to chuckle every time I think of the nickname I heard for the Trumpster, Spanky.
Yes. Well, of all the weird fetishes he has, Spanky's the most quaint at this point. Thanks, Randall. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Spanky is Republicans. Have you noticed, by the way, I want to ask everyone, have you noticed your conservative friends are starting to leave social media in droves? They are. They're leaving in droves. And you know where I noticed it? Is when all of a sudden we started getting this Broidy guy, this guy that was with the RNC, the guy that Cohen paid $1.6 million off to a Playboy playmate because she was pregnant and she had an abortion. That guy, that's when I started noticing all of a sudden the conservatives started leaving in droves. The budget deficit, which they screamed was the most important issue, that's exploded far worse. We are less safe. We don't have any kind of coherent policy on any level. And now we have sex scandals. Ahoy. The president's being called Spanky. And that's a good nickname for him, for goodness sakes. And it's just ineptitude beyond ineptitude. They're all saying bye-bye because they can't defend it anymore. Mike's up next. Have a good one until tomorrow. See ya.